Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We're ready to go. I think. I mean, I don't know what lies behind door number four. Fourth time. I'm kind of afraid of it, to be quite honest with you, but I'm also excited for it. What a wild. You know, run of emotions here, right? And the anticipation of it all. Now, let's just be honest, right? That's what it is here. On a Buffalo Football Friday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. I'm Sal Capaccio. And, of course, Football Friday here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Let's do this, okay? A couple things. Because I'm all over the place. I'm so all over the place. I literally poured myself a cup of coffee and then walked into the studio and left the coffee in the bistro. Like, I'm messed up today. I'm just all over the place. I got to be the calm one here. But how can you? You have no control over it. I'm not playing. I'm not coaching. You out there. Maybe someone out there is playing and coaching. Who's listening? It is tough. It is nerve-wracking. I mean, I felt this last week, too. And I've said all week, and I said last week, give me to Sunday, I'll be fine. Like, get me to Sunday, on the field, the game starts, I'll be fine. I'll be all right. Because then it's a game. Then it's work. You're doing your job. You're in the moment. You just got to kind of focus on what's the task at hand. Task is at hand. It's the unknown. It's the visions of the two extremes that have got me all twisted up this week. And I think I might speak for a lot of you when I say that the same way, right? Which is the vision of the two extremes. What if it's a win? What if it's a loss? How does it all shake out either way? So let's kind of do that and talk about it today. That's what we need to do. So here's what I want to do today. 803-0550 is the number. 716-803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Give a call. It's a Friday. I want to do an emotions check. I want to get your confidence. I want to get your concerns about this game. That overall. Tell me what your confidence is. Tell me what your concerns are. But more than anything, I'm looking for an emotions check. How you're gonna deal with it? Where you are? Are you good? Are you like, yeah, dude, I'm good. Like, it doesn't, you know, I mean, hey, it's, there's bigger things in life, right? I mean, no one's saying there's not here, by the way. But this is a sports talk radio station. This happens all the time. You make these things out to be big deals, and we're talking about it. Well, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in life. Of course there are. But we do sports talk here. That's what we do. And we're invested in our teams. And our team here in Buffalo is 60 minutes, four quarters away from playing for a Super Bowl and World Championship. And they have this big, bad Goliath in front of them, the evil chiefs that have stood in their way for the most part for the last 4 years. And they have that, they have all the bling. They got all the rings, the Lombardis, the MVPs, all this, all that shiny stuff that we've always wanted. And we don't have any of that. And we want it. We want it for a long time. And all we have is heartbreak and misery and what ifs over the years. But things change in sports, right? Because guess who had all of that before? The Chiefs had that at one point. The Chiefs had that. You know, up until, I mean, yes, they did win Super Bowl IV. I get that. 1970. I wasn't even born. But up until they actually broke through and won in 2020, that was also the Chiefs. The Cleveland Cavaliers had that. LeBron James won it. I was reading, I'm going to give credit to Tim Graham of The Athletic. He wrote a great piece and he was going through some of these. And so that would trigger my mind. Like, it doesn't have to be in perpetuity that you always fall short. You can be the one that actually does win, because that's sports and that's life. I remember growing up, Denver was like this all the time. The Broncos can't win because, you know, you have Kelly and Elway and Marino and all these great 83 quarterbacks, the 83 quarterback class, and Elway, I'm sorry, Kelly loses. Well, first it was Elway who lost 3 out of 4 in 86, 87, 89. And then it's Kelly who loses 4 in a row, 90 through 93. Marino who gets to 1 and loses, never gets there. And it's like, yeah, like they'll never do it. And then guess what happened? One of them actually did it once and then twice. It was John Elway at the end of his career. Like, it does happen. And then guess what happened with Denver? As soon as they win that, then they go on to win some Stanley Cups. Like, bam, like the floodgates just open. It doesn't have to be in perpetuity. They can be the team to do it. My deal is, I am twisted, really twisted, talking, thinking about, trying to not think about. That's what it is. It's trying to not think about, but having to think about the two extremes on Sunday. 9:30 p.m. Eastern, basically, right? 8:30 p.m. Central, where the game is. I'm going to be on that field, and it's going to be like a celebration and party that I've never been a part of in my professional life. Or it's going to be like it was in 2021, not 2020 for me. I'll get into that in a second. 2021, when they lost after having a lead with 13 seconds and walking off the field and looking. And me, I will never, ever, ever forget watching Josh Allen walk off alone and looking over and seeing all the cameras around Patrick Mahomes and following around. I mean, that image is striking. It is burned, seared into my memory. Seeing Jordan Poyer crouch down, emotional, walking past him. Looking at Devin Singletary on the bench, arms to one side or the other of the bench, and leaning back with his head on the bench. I'll never forget those scenes. And this year, I think about what if it's like that again? And I don't want to think about that. But then I think about, what if it's the other way? Because here in the professional side, there's two parts of this, the personal side, the professional side, right? In the personal side, like, you get all these emotions and tripped up. I grew up here and went through the 4 Super Bowls and all that. The professional side, I got to prepare. We got to prepare. Like, we have to do a broadcast, and then we have to prepare for contingencies on what if it's a loss, what if it's a win? And there's celebrations that happen afterwards. How do we handle that? What do we do? And I'm thinking, am I allowed to even think like that? I have to be prepared. I hate the fact that I even have to, like, plan for it, because I don't want to, but I do want to, right? That's what's getting me twisted up. I mean, as Greg Harvey, our incredible engineer, executive producer, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, in the booth with us, said to me this week when I texted him about all this stuff, he said, "Sal, I don't believe in jinxes, but I do believe in pre-planning and being prepared." And that really made my mind feel a little bit at ease. So from the professional side, I think about that. What's it like here? Afterwards, coming back, 3 in the morning, the airport Monday morning on the radio, like all of that. It's just so hard to think about the two extremes and not get so twisted up, because that's where I am right now. And I want to know where you are with all this. 803-0550. We will have Sean McDermott today for his weekly Friday radio interview, and it will be at about 10:45 today. Normally it's about 11. We're going a little early today, about 10:45 with Coach McDermott. He'll give us an update on injured players and where they stand right now. We're monitoring, obviously, a few guys, four notably. Taylor Rapp, who hasn't practiced in a couple of days with his hip injury. Christian Benford, who's still in concussion protocol. Matt Milano, who's been limited with his hamstring. And Taron Johnson, who showed up limited on the injury report yesterday with his shoulder. So those are the four that we are monitoring. All defensive players, obviously. I mean, we can get into the breakdown of this game. We can get into the X and O's. X's and O's. I have no problem doing that. I have some confidence in that. I have some concerns in that. That's not what today is really about for me. I can do it. We can do that. I'm sure we'll talk about those kinds of things. Today is, to me, about it's a heat check, if you will. It's an emotion check. It's a how do you deal with it? What are you going to do? Where are you? Let's talk through this together. I need you today. Like you need me sometimes. You say, I need you after a game or before a game. Well, I need you today, too, to work through this with me. All right, so let's do it together. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. We're going to start it off in Texas with Clover. Always appreciate you listening and calling, Clover. What's going on?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, bigger things in life, but the Bills are part of our lives. So it is a big moment. Very excited. Can't wait to hear your voice on the sideline. I'm excited for you. It's going to be really special being there. I love hearing you on the radio shows. I heard you on DA and Babchick this morning. Those guys are so funny. That was great. But I love that how you've been talking about the job Coach McDermott's been doing this year. Just a great job. And I think, you know, the pinnacle was last week's game, because we heard all week how they're going to stop Henry and Lamar, and it was a total chess match. I mean, at this point, everybody's got the players, the talent, but it just came down to the coaching and the execution. And I thought he did a brilliant job. And I heard you talk about how he's very confident. And I was wondering if part of that is the vision that he had for the team is finally, you know, coming through. Because I even remember a couple years ago when I think it was a Jacksonville loss. Daboll was still here. And he looked so upset at the postgame saying, we need to run the ball, right? And now we're running. We have a great run game now. So I'm wondering if that's like part of, you know, why he is so confident, because this team is actually, you know, doing the things he envisioned, you know, at a high level.
Yeah, I think that it comes down to the fact that they're more balanced than they have been. They don't have to have Josh put on the cape. You know what I mean, Clover? Like that's been, it's been kind of the mantra, the talking point. And I'm not saying it's not wrong at times over the years, maybe not as much as people like to say it is, but truly, you know, a team that can win on the ground with an offensive line, not making mistakes. And I think that's been the difference of what you're talking about. As far as Sean McDermott, I mean, look, you're going to have your segment of Bills fans always. I don't know how true this truly is, but it feels like there's a pocket of Bills fans that actually would prefer them to lose to tell you how much that they've been right about Sean McDermott. Does that make sense? Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate that. Right? But there's a pocket of Bills fans who are just waiting to tell you why the coach isn't the right coach, and they've been right about him all along, and they hate the fact that they'd rather be right than be happy. And that bothers me. But that's not the logical, realistic fan, and I've had to remind myself of that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Sal, you do a great job dealing with those callers. I mean, I remember somebody calling about the draft last week. I'm like, oh, gosh. So
that's
you do a great
good.
Job.
Yeah.
You know, you're always going to have that element, but you do a great job. You're a true professional. I hope you have an amazing time. Get some great barbecue. Safe travels. Enjoy every second. And I'll be listening on Sunday.
Thank you, Clover. I appreciate that. Yeah, so in 2020, I've said this before on the radio as we've gone on here, which is we didn't call the game from the stadium. So Murph was still doing play-by-play. Steve Tasker did color that year because Eric couldn't travel due to COVID. It was the COVID year. But we did all the games from the Buffalo Bills radio booth where we do our home games. We had monitors. We couldn't travel. It was COVID. And I wasn't at that game. I don't know. Again, so that's why I say, like, I don't know what the protocol is and the process. And, you know, that, of course, that night was a celebration for the Chiefs and a trophy celebration and a presentation on a stage and how all of that worked. I didn't witness that. I didn't see that. I think back in the day when I was a kid, when I was going to games as a fan growing up in my teenage years, the Bills went to the four Super Bowls and they played one, two, three of those years. They played the AFC Championship game at home. And if I remember right, the trophy celebration was always in the locker room, done for TV. It was never on the field. Now it's changed. That's why I talk about the professional side. It's way different to think about that. All right, let's get more to your phone calls here. Let's go to Austin in Tonawanda. Hi, Austin.
Hey, good morning, Sal. How
are you doing? I'm good, thanks.
Hey, so first thing, wanted to shout out Tim Graham. Glad you brought him up. You came into one of my classes at Canisius and spoke, so always memorable, and I believe it was for Tim's class, so
yeah.
I'm glad you brought him up. But anyway, you want to talk about vibes, you want to talk about the feeling this week in Buffalo, and I mean, I think Monday, Tuesday, I was in this, like, anxious state and kind of, like, you know, still coming down from the game, not really knowing how to feel, and as the week's gone on, we've gotten all this snow, there's been distractions, this and that. Now it's Friday, we're here, like 5 o'clock today, everybody gets out of work and you're like, okay, a couple more days, here we go.
Yeah.
So I think that you can talk about the X's and O's, you can talk about how they did well last week, you can talk about how you have to go into the game and do this and that, but really it's you're one step away. And if we all, you know, want to rally together and try and have the positivity, that's the only kind of mindset I've been trying to have all week, but it's like, You know, if you think about statistics, okay, this is the fourth time. Come on, we got to go beat the bad man. So it's like, let's go do it. Let's get it done. And, you know, I hope for all of the Bills fans that are traveling that it happens because they deserve it. And, you know, we'll be ready with open arms when they make it back and we can, that's all we can do. So that's kind of how I've been feeling this week, and hopefully they can get it done for us.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. Keeping it positive. I like that mindset for sure. Chris in Maryland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Chris? Oh, that's Chris.
Yeah, it's all right, buddy. I'm Sal. You're Chris. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't called you in a minute. My son always asks. He's like, yo, you call it after almost every game? I say, no. And I said, you know what? I'll call today. I'm not big on superstition, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to just wait till the end of the year, you know, and just go from there. But I'll say this. The way I felt going into the Ravens game last week, normally I'm pretty anxious. I was anxious for Broncos game because I was like, I don't know which Bills team is going to show up. Like, I was like, okay, are we going to come out flat? Or, how are we going to cash? So the game was over. Fine. We got to the Ravens. That whole week, I was actually pretty even keel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah, it's not good. I was telling people here because everybody's, you know, either for the Ravens or Washington, but a lot of people talking trash to me. And I don't do a lot of trash talk, but I told them, I said, I don't know if they thought it was going to be a blowout like it was before. I said, it's not going to be the same game. Well, we got out of there, we got the W. I feel a lot the same this week. I'm calm. I'm normally not. So usually when I feel that way, I can almost count 100% of the times we win.
All right.
So I just this is a good year for us to try to get Kansas City in the playoffs, because as much as they're the boogeyman to some, we got to play well. But they're not that strong as people are really putting them out to be. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You know, Kelsey had a good game last week, but that's not a guarantee he's going to have one this week. We don't know.
It's a different team for Kansas City for sure, Chris. Thanks for the call. Miss you, man. Thanks.
No,
don't be a stranger, buddy, okay?
Oh, I won't. I'll be back.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you. Let's go to David in Buffalo. Hi, David.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good fellow Shoshone coach calling in today.
I love it.
Just wanted to say, on paper, I am so confident this team beat the Chiefs earlier in the season. The Chiefs aren't the same team they are. But, you know, I grew up a Mets fan. And I had to deal with all these Yankee kids when I was in high school. And Derek Jeter, on paper, you know, not a superstar stats besides his 300 average, but always comes in clutch. And I feel the same way with Mahomes. He might have a down year, but this team always comes in clutch and always c- comes and finds a way to defeat our Bills. And I feel like in order to be successful, we just got to come out swinging. We've got to run that score up so that they don't have a chance to have some sort of fourth quarter miracle that just dooms us again.
Yeah, you play till the end here, no matter what, and I agree. Like, I've envisioned it, David, where this team gets into the fourth quarter with a lead and what that looks like and just trying to hold on to it, right? And you can't just hold on to it. You just have to keep playing. You keep playing until it gets down to zero, and yeah, we've seen it end differently before, but, you know, I agree. Like, what is it? If you're down in the fourth quarter, you have Josh Allen, you feel confident? I don't know, because, you know, it's the Chiefs. If you're up in the fourth quarter, you feel confident? I don't know, because they have Patrick Mahomes, right? You can go either way on that. Thanks for the call, David. Bob in Syracuse. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Sal. So I'm kind of like you in the sense where I've had a lot of scar tissue over the years because we went through the four straight Super Bowl losses. And so as a lifelong Bills fan from the early, from the, you know, late 70s all the way to the, that long you know, drought, so to speak, we had in the 80s to the 90s. And then, you know, I was thinking back yesterday, I'm like, you know, what was my most enjoyable time as a Bills fan? And throughout all the playoff losses and the Super Bowl losses and all those championship games that we won, I would say it had to be the drought-breaking game. I don't think I've ever been more excited as a Bills fan. And to be honest with you, during the drought, I didn't even think about this team ever really truly being competitive again before McDermott, Bean, and Terry Pegula bought the team. So I just wanted to be entertained at that point. So to come from that moment as a Bills fan and that exuberance to this point in time, it feels just a little bit different than it did any other year. So I'm just hoping, you know, at the end of the day, none of us have any impact on the outcome, and we have to accept it if it doesn't happen, and we can just hope for the best. But it just feels a little bit different.
So. Yeah, and listen, I go back to that drought-breaking game, and there was not even a Josh Allen on the team yet, you know, Bob? You know what I mean? And, you know, how could you envision them getting to this point? I think, you know, you knew the foundation was there, and that was a great night. It's a great example, Bob, what you just brought up of, for 17 years, we're like, it's never going to happen. And then it happened, right? I mean, it can happen. It can. You have to remember that it's life. Those things do happen. There's really no actual, like, outside force saying you're not allowed to go beat the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl. That's not true. I'm going to keep telling myself that, by the way. Danielle in Orchard Park. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Hi. So the last time that the Bills had a big run, I was a little girl. I was about 7 years old. I have six uncles. They're huge Bills fans. And then for the longest time, you know, we were in the drought. And my message and, like, the vibes around my house and my family and friends is just to, like, enjoy the ride a little bit. Like, will we be bummed if we lose the game? Of course. Do I think we're going to win? I don't know. It feels like it. And I know that's silly to say, cause it's just a feeling. But this was a team that wasn't even supposed to, win the division, and we're about to play to be in the Super Bowl. I just think people need to remember that. I think sometimes when you're so close to a team and you're such a huge fan, it's hard to zoom out a little bit. So I guess my message, and, you know, even like I have small kids that are really excited, is like, if it doesn't come out with a win, like, enjoy the ride. Like, we're one game before it, and it's been an incredible season.
Yeah, hey, it's a great perspective. There are only four teams playing, right? Everybody else is talking about, I mean, look, what you got, new coaches, new GMs. We're not in that boat, and that's really nice. It'd be great to win, but it's a great perspective to have, Danielle. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. One more. Let's go before we go to the break. Let's go to Bonnie, and it says South Dayton. Is that a thing? Is there a South Dayton and a North Dayton and an East Dayton and a West Dayton?
Good morning, Sal. How are you?
I'm good.
South Dayton, and then there's Dayton.
Okay. All right. We got South Dayton and Dayton. You're in South Dayton. I appreciate you calling. What's up?
I just wanted to call and say, even though I'm a Steelers fan, and I'm sorry to say that, but my whole family are Bills fans. They are huge Bills fans. Even my brother, who passed away in 2019. And from then on, I have been rooting for the Bills wholeheartedly for my brother. And I just feel like this year is going to be their year. I just feel it, and I pray that they are going to be there. I mean, Josh is amazing. And that's all I wanted to say.
So it's all great. Thank you for listening out there in South Dayton. And no, we appreciate your perspective from the outside. Many, many people who aren't Bills fans are rooting for the Bills to beat the Chiefs because they're just tired of the Chiefs, right? I think that's part of it too, Bonnie. I know. Thank you very much for sure. I really appreciate the phone call. All right, we're going to take a timeout, but I got a couple things before I do. Number one, in case you haven't heard, we are live on YouTube now. Now, not this show. It's the AM show and the PM show, all right? So if you go, there's a WGR 550 YouTube handle, right? Is it just WGR 550, Josh? Is that where you go?
Yep, that's correct. Okay, you can actually find it on all the tweets this morning, have the links to that,
and
you can watch stuff back.
So go to the tweets and things like that. Just find it, WGR 550. Jeremy and Joe were live this morning. We got Owen Parker in here, who's doing a great job producing that show on the video side. I would call you Little Bulldog, but you are the bigger Bulldog, to be quite honest with you, right? So Owen's producing that show, but we're live, all the shows. And here's why that's cool. All right, because yes, you can use the app, and if you're used to that, that's great. You can put us on the radio when you're driving around. If you want, you can also just turn on YouTube and listen without watching. You can watch us. You can listen without watching. It's really cool. And you know who this is even more the most awesome for to me? Hello, Canada. Hello, Canada. We've missed you. You have not been able to listen to us on the app. I get emails and texts and tweets and calls. How come the Odyssey app doesn't work in Canada? Guess what? You don't have to worry about that anymore. We're back, baby. We're in Canada. You can go on YouTube and listen to us and watch us. So thank you to our Canadian friends. I know it didn't work out for the Sabres last night in Canada, but it's working out for us. We will take a timeout here, and of course that means we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott coming up at 10:45. All right, let's get back out to the phone lines now on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR. Margo in Buffalo. Hi, Margo.
Good morning, Sal.
Hi.
So I was 21 when Machine Gun Kelly and the boys took us to the four Super Bowls. 55 now. I got through it. 17-year drought. Got through that. So no matter the outcome Sunday, emotionally, I don't know how I will feel, win or lose, because this year has been different from years past. If the outcome is not what we want, I just want the Bills Mafia to remember, no one wants this for us more than this team, more than Josh Allen, more than the rest of America, honestly, to be honest. And the adversity that this team had before the season even started has just shown what this team means for the Mafia, bringing a Super Bowl to this city. And honestly, I wasn't even that nervous during the Ravens last week. I was more nervous about Denver. And I'm not so nervous about Kansas City because I believe that we have a better team. It's been proven all season. But you don't know what's going to happen in this game, especially because of the history of the two rivalry. I don't – just remember, win or lose, they don't want this – than anything but for a Super Bowl.
Nope. I get it. How are you doing? You doing good today then? You all right? Your emotions all right? You feeling okay?
You know what? I did have a cry this morning on my way to work. It was kind of weird. And then talking to one of my coworkers, we shared a story and I had to get up and leave just because I don't want it to sound ridiculous that I'm so emotional about it. I really haven't slept good the last couple of days, and it's always on my mind. I'm just very preoccupied. But we'll know soon enough.
Yep.
Like Sean said, I guess we'll find out.
That's right.
But I believe the team is ready. They're ready for this game. They've taken it one game at a time. It's held true. And I believe in them. So no matter the outcome, I bleed the Bills, and I always will. So,
well, listen, Margo, take a deep breath. You and me and people listening, we have no control over what happens, and you have to remember that. And, you know, and obviously it's a pretty wide range of, you know, outcomes here, but, you know, enjoy, relax, enjoy, and just know that, you know, once Sunday comes around, you know, you can watch your team and let it play out. You know what I mean?
Right on, Sal.
Thanks, Margo. I appreciate it.
You know, don't stop believing.
I got it. I appreciate your call, Margo. Thank you. Speaking of Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, he's going to join us at about 10:45. So I want to take an early break here this hour. Normally, I don't break until about then, but we don't want to cut Sean off when he calls. Obviously, we want to give him time to talk up until the 11 o'clock hour. Also, it appears the Raiders are zeroing in on Pete Carroll, maybe, to be their head coach, according to several reports. So we'll see where that goes. Wow, Pete Carroll back in. I mean, he's 72, 73, I think he's, right? What? How old is Pete Carroll? I mean, he looks great for his age, by the way, and I'm sure he's very much
73.
In shape. 73, wow. Wow, good for him, man. We'll see how that turns out, but apparently that is the report that's coming out right now, Ian Rappaport and others, that could very well be the target for the Las Vegas Raiders. We will take a timeout here. We'll come back. Bills head coach Sean McDermott with a Friday injury report and more ahead of the AFC Championship game in Kansas City on Sunday. All right, welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you. We are awaiting Bills head coach Sean McDermott in just a little while. Scheduled to join us at about 10:45, which is creeping up at 10:45 right now. Our Football Friday, as always, here on WGR is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So Sean McDermott's going to be calling, and it's a good time then to talk about coaches because there's been another hire. According to Adam Schefter, it is done now. We just told you a little while ago that the Raiders were apparently zeroing in on Pete Carroll, 73-year-old Pete Carroll. Well, apparently Adam Schefter says it is a done deal. 3-year deal for Pete Carroll to become the new head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, joining Tom Brady and, of course, Mark Davis, but Brady now a part of that ownership group. And Carroll, 3-year deal, a team option for a fourth, but either way, 73 years old. The deal will take him to he's 76, maybe 77 years old. He looks like he's in great shape. He still wants to coach. Obviously, he was with the Seattle Seahawks for many years. So I wouldn't be too hung up on the age, even though I mentioned it because I think it's unique. Unique to have a person who's at that stage of life to become the new coach of a team, not just continue coaching. But hey, Bill Belichick at North Carolina, right? He's in his 70s. We've seen that as well. Also, take a look at the AFC West coaches. Wow. As far as accomplishments, easily. I mean, blowing out of the water any other division total. You have three head coaches: Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and Pete Carroll, who all have Super Bowl rings, and you have one that has Jim Harbaugh, a national championship, and has been to a Super Bowl, an NFC championship. That's incredible, right, when you think about it. Even if you removed one person, you could make the argument they still have the most accomplished. Even if you removed Andy Reid, you can make the argument that division has the most accomplished coaches in the NFL overall.
I'm trying to think. I don't even know if there's a division close.
Well, Harbaugh and Tomlin.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that I was looking at that. You're right.
That's probably, off the top of my head, that's probably the next closest.
I mean, what are we looking at here? I'm looking at the Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago, no. Tampa, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. None of them. I mean, the West, the NFC West, does have Sean McVay, and it does have Kyle Shanahan, but Shanahan's never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, he hasn't won anything.
No. Nope.
He's got to win something.
I mean, I would think the AFC North would be the only one that even has multiple Super Bowl champion head coaches, right? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
I'm just looking at the top of my head. I think that's it. This one has three, and one with a national title in college. So, and look, you want to stop the Kansas City Chiefs? Okay, well, here's your first step. You got coaches in the division that could try and do it, right? It's so funny. you know, the Chiefs and the Bills and this talk about, oh, they didn't get the one seed. Oh, my God, they can't get the one seed. And I'm thinking here a couple weeks ago, well, how about one of you teams in the West step up? How about you stop them from winning all those divisional games to stop them from getting the one seed? That would help, too. It's not just, this shouldn't always be on the Bills and the Ravens and the Bengals to do it, or the Steelers, whoever. You know, I mean, beat this team once in a while in your division, will you? They win it free and clear by, you know, 15-2 in the last week they rested players. They're hosting their seventh straight AFC championship. Their seventh straight AFC championship. It's unbelievable. I believe, I have to go back and look, the Patriots hosted, the Patriots went to eight straight. I said hosted. They're in their seventh straight. Of course, they went on the road and won last year to Baltimore. But the Patriots were in eight straight championship games. The Chiefs in seven. What did they do before that? Lost in the wild card. Lost the divisional. Lost the divisional. Didn't make the playoffs. I mean, it's been a great run. Whew. But how about they, look at their winning the division. I mean, they won 11 games last year and won it. But they've not, they've won the division for what, nine straight years? Let me see, since 2016, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Before that, they were second in three consecutive years. How about somebody in the West step up a little bit here, okay, will you? Maybe that'll help take care of the Chiefs instead of relying on the Bills and the Ravens or the Steelers, whoever else, to do it all the time. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. As soon as we have Bills head coach Sean McDermott, we will bring him to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let me just kind of reset and go back to what I opened the show with, and that is emotions. My emotions are totally twisted. Howard Simon just walked in the studio. Are your emotions totally twisted right now?
No,
about these, this
I'm fine.
Game? Yeah. How are you, buddy?
Bring back a win.
Thank you. All right, there you go. That we will now. Howard just gave me a hug. You can't see it. We're not on video, but we are on audio, and I'll let everybody know. Thank you, Howard. I appreciate the hug. Howard came in, gave me a hug. He left. I feel much better now. My emotions have settled down because Howard Simon gave me a hug. I mean, that's really what today is about. I mean, all the X's and O's, these teams know each other, folks. They know each other. I mean, they're playing, what, they're the ninth time since 2020, I think it is? You know how many times the Bills have played the Jets? 10 in that time period. The Dolphins, 10. The Patriots, 11, right? Because they played the playoff game against them. Or the Dolphins actually would be an extra one because they also played in the playoffs. But you get the point. I mean, they know each other like they know division opponents. There's no secrets here. I asked Cam Lewis about that in the locker room. Like, Cam, I said, is this, hey, we know you, you know us, there's no secrets, just go play ball. He said, yeah, basically, but they're going to have wrinkles. They'll have wrinkles, and that's right. And the Bills will have wrinkles too. You know, what are those wrinkles? What do the Bills do a little bit differently offensively? What do the Chiefs do a little bit differently defensively? And on the other side of the ball for both teams, what do they do differently, right? There will be things like that. I asked you earlier what your emotions are like. I also asked you for your confidence and your concerns. And a lot of you tweeted in. That's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Oh, yeah, you're right. Two coaches with national championships. Pete Carroll. Thank you, William. That's great. Great, great, great to point out. Pete Carroll. Thank you, William. He won a national championship at USC. My gosh, the rings and the championships in the AFC West are incredible. They really are. Thank you, William, for that. I really appreciate that. Trying to read some of these responses. Tara says, I'm excited, quietly confident. They're as healthy as they've been in the McDermott era for a game like this. The only concern, the sports girly says, is Joe Brady. He's been cruising in our Ferrari, and I need him to take him racing on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, I guess that would be like how you want to play it with Josh Allen, but, you know, the formula has worked. I understand. Aaron says slightly more confident than going into the Ravens game, but I feel like something blankety blank is going to happen with the refs. Yeah, that's been a talking point. And, you know, I'll be honest. Somebody asked me this week, a friend of mine said, hey, you've been on these Kansas City radio programs this week, right? Like, what's the confidence level? What are they talking about? And you know what I said? I said, you know what's funny to me? And this is true. Mike Rizzo, by the way, my buddy Mike, says cautiously optimistic. Thanks, Mike. I said, you know what is interesting to me? And this is true. So I have been on Kansas City radio this week, just like I have been other radio stations, national, other markets. A couple times I've gone on Kansas City radio this week, they've asked me about what Bills fans and the Bills players, whoever, think about the referee narrative and the calls. And I think that's fascinating that they're in Kansas City thinking about and asking about how everybody else is viewing it from the outside. Are you worried about the refs? Do you guys believe in this stuff? And I'm like, you know, I mean, my response is, yeah, I mean, of course, Bills fans have it in their head. I don't think players do, but I said players are more concerned about, like, how much holding this particular crew calls, how much defensive pass interference this particular crew calls, whatever. And it's a mixed crew, and it's Cleet Blakeman is going to be reffing. He has his some of his crew, some of others. That's how they do it in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, it's a thing, right? We've all seen it. And I've played that thing in my head a few times, and I hate the way it looks. You get late in the game. I mean, even second quarter, right? There's a critical play, and, oh, you graze by Mahomes, and there's some sort of flag. Like, I've seen that movie. I've thought about it. I've looked at it. I've visualized it, and I hate it every time, so I try not to. You know, but maybe all of the talk about the officiating situation and the fact that Blakeman's crew actually, like, if you look into some of the numbers, I think you could say, okay, you're not as worried about it with this particular crew, but you know, maybe there's a sentiment of, okay, you know, we've gone a little too far protecting Patrick. I don't know if they think that way. Who knows? And Josh has gotten his fair share of calls, and I'll take every one of them that comes this Sunday. I'll tell you that. Josh flops down and draws a call. You got it, baby. Go ahead. No, you ain't going to hear me complaining on Monday morning on the radio. That's for sure. I went back today. I was thinking about this. I don't know why I thought about it, but I did. This morning, I went back and watched the non-pass interference call in the Rams-Saints game. Remember that? Nickell Robey-Coleman? You remember that? Josh, I mean, it was so blatant.
Yeah.
Right? And he didn't even turn. He just makes a beeline for the receiver. Lewis drills him, and there's no flag. Peyton's screaming on the sidelines. And not only he didn't even look for the ball. He drills the guy early, and it's helmet to helmet, and there's no call. I remember all that. And I watched it all, I should say, today.
I just remember, like, for like 2 weeks afterwards, it was the first conversation you had about that game. It wasn't about what happened in the game, or it wasn't about, like, the outcome or anything like that, but it was just that right there, and, like, how to fix it and what next and everything like that. It was just, I don't want anything like that. You know, like, that's like the one of those things where it makes your game historic in the worst way possible.
Yeah, I'm being told, I'm still waiting on Sean McDermott. He's in a meeting right now, but he'll be coming aboard shortly. So I know that it was scheduled for 10:45. This is what happens. Hey, I'm totally cool with the coach in meetings today getting buttoned up for the Kansas City Chiefs. You want to wait a little bit? Just got to be while I'm on the air here, coach, okay? I'm totally cool with that, as you should be as well. So let's do this. Let's take a timeout, all right? We'll take a timeout right now. We'll come back. We'll have Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the other side with our Friday injury update and more as the Bills get set to take on the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship on Sunday.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you, and it's time to welcome in Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his weekly radio appearance. Good morning, coach. Happy Football Friday to you.
Good morning, and happy Football Friday as well to you.
All right, coach. Well, here we are, 48 hours or so away from obviously a really important game for this organization, this franchise. I've been kind of asking fans today to kind of what their emotions are like. You guys seem like you're always on an even keel. Like, what's it like for you inside the building today as far as preparation and, you know, thinking about the task at hand?
Well, I think like the fans, we're definitely getting excited. You know, that said, we're so routine based and kind of going through our week and making sure we're ready to go.
All right, coach. Obviously, some injury updates that we want to get to here. So let's get to our Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Any updates you can give us on players this week that could possibly be out, or how practice might go today?
Yes, Taylor Rapp will be out. Christian Benford remains in the concussion protocol. He will not be at practice today. He's also dealing with a personal situation that he has going on. Milano, Taron Johnson will be full today. We'll see how they continue to trend heading into game time.
On Matt Milano, Coach, I know there was some ambiguity on Monday when you were asked about it, and then he did participate in a limited fashion the last 2 days. How do you feel that his week has gone for him with the hamstring?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you'd expect. You know, it was, you know, sore there and dealing with it. He's still dealing with it. It's just a matter of, again, how he handles it today. He's going to do a little bit more today just from a testing it out standpoint, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's a little bit up in the air.
Okay, Coach. Obviously, with Taylor Rapp out, you know, we've seen Cole Bishop fill in for him. What have you seen from Cole as a rookie in his development when he came in a little bit? I know he had an injury early on, you know, preseason training camp. And what have you seen from him since, though, he got back on the field early in the season till now?
Yeah, I mean, that injury in camp there set him back, you know, just from a growth and experience standpoint, missing those reps. You know, that being said, once he got in the flow and got rolling, you know, ever since that first game, I think it was a great learning experience for him, and I think he's done a real nice job and will continue to grow as he moves forward here.
All right, Coach, you had three, your organization had three people who are going to be finalists for awards, and if I know, and I'll just say this, I know a lot of Bills fans believe you should have been a finalist for Coach of the Year, but I digress right there. I don't need you to comment. I'll just let you know a lot of Bills fans believe that, but I will say that you have Comeback Player of the Year, DeMar Hamlin, as a finalist. I just want to go through each of these and kind of you speak about why these people represent this particular award and why they're worthy candidates. DeMar Hamlin, of course, from what he came back from, to be a starter on this defense, why is he a good choice for a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year?
Well, like you said, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's had a heck of a journey and where he's come from, the significance of the injury and the journey he's been on. I don't think anybody out there can match that, right? And not that you want to. It's just an incredible example to me of, you know, mental toughness, faith, and courage.
Assistant Coach of the Year. That's only been around since 2014. Brian Daboll won it in 2020. Now Joe Brady is a finalist. Why is Joe Brady a worthy candidate for this award?
Well, coaching to me, a big part of coaching is who can take what they have and make it better, right? And means if you got a really good team and you can make it a great team, if you have a, you know, whatever, you can fill in the blanks. It's just, hey, what do you do with what you have? And I think Joe's done a really good job of creating an environment on the offensive side of the ball and a certain energy and then taking the strength of his players and doing things with it. And I think that's a sign of a good coach.
And you've said before here and elsewhere that you believe Josh is the MVP of the league. Why does Josh have the – what exemplifies Josh as a worthy MVP candidate and possible winner this year?
Well, like I've mentioned before, everyone sees what his production has been on the field. I do think that part of the difference this year has been you know, his decision-making and his disciplined decision-making, and that'll need to continue. And then his leadership overall on our football team and the impact that has brought to our team.
Josh, obviously protecting the football very well this year. So are the Chiefs, obviously, since the Week 11 game against you guys. I don't think they have a turnover. I know Mahomes has not thrown an interception. How important will ball security and, you know, that particular aspect of the game be this week, just like it was last week with three turnovers you guys forced against the Ravens?
Well, the fundamentals are going to be important, right? The blocking, the tackling, the throwing, the catching, the kicking, all those areas are going to be important, which includes, you know, protecting the house as far as taking care of the football.
All right, Coach, obviously a team you're very familiar with. I asked Cam Lewis the other day, I was like, is it just as simple as we know you know us, go out there and play? He said, kind of, but you know they're going to have some wrinkles too, right? Is that really what it comes down to? Hey, we know basically what they're going to do. We just have to be aware of if they're going to try a little bit some things different, and we got to have a few things planned ourselves.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I think more than anything, it's about execution this time of year and who's able to execute, you know, play after play. So that's you know, what Cam said, I agree with.
And then on the other side, on the defensive side of the ball, Chris Jones, obviously a guy you have to reckon with, and you've seen him. What makes him a special, Coach? Why can he be a game wrecker?
Oh boy! Well, this time of year in particular, he usually plays at a very high level. You know, if you go back and watch all their postseason runs and their Super Bowls, It's usually Chris Jones on the defensive side, at least, making those plays that impact the game. And I believe he did it last year in their Super Bowl win. And you just have to, you've got to make sure that you account for him in everything you do.
All right, and then obviously I can't let you go without asking about preparing for Patrick Mahomes. You guys have had, you had Bo Nix, who had an outstanding season. You had Lamar last week, Patrick Mahomes this week. It just like it seems like it's not, it never ends, but here you have a three-time Super Bowl champion. What makes him so special in running that offense, especially at Arrowhead?
Yeah, I mean, you name the quarterbacks, right, and the head coaches. You're saying Sean Payton in the first round, John Harbaugh the next round, yeah. And then now Andy Reid. It's a heck of a challenge, right? And you're saying these quarterbacks now, Patrick Mahomes. I think our defense has done a really good job through the first two games. This challenge will be even bigger for us. So we've got to play well in all three phases and play complementary football.
Sean, good luck. Safe travels to Kansas City. And once again, I'll say I think I speak for many, many Bills fans, all of them listening here, where I can't wait to talk to you and hopefully we do coming up in the next couple of weeks. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Sal. Have a great weekend.
You got it. That is Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills. He has ruled out safety Taylor Rapp from this game. We'll see how it goes with Milano and Taron Johnson. Christian Benford will not be at practice today due to a personal matter. He also is in the concussion protocol still, so we'll see where that goes. Obviously concerning if they, with Christian Benford. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope, okay, everything's okay in his personal life, and he'll get cleared for concussion protocol, which is always something you never can tell, and he'll be on the field against the Kansas City Chiefs. But we'll see. He was there yesterday. I will say that McDermott said Matt Milano and Taron Johnson will both be full participants at practice today, so that matters. And here we go. This is my, want to hear my confidence and concerns? I'll tell you. I asked for yours. I'll give you mine. My number one concern is the safety position, because you are facing here a great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, a great play caller in Andy Reid, with a rookie safety next to DeMar Hamlin, who has done a really good job this year. But we all know DeMar next to Taylor Rapp, is a better fit for him. I shouldn't say better fit. I want to say it that way than Cole Bishop, but it's a good fit for him. Because he doesn't have to play that center field type role where Taylor Rapp can a little bit, and maybe Cole Bishop can, but he is a rookie, and he's going to get tested. My concern is that, being tested deep, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, even DeAndre Hopkins to a lesser extent, he's not as much, Travis Kelce, middle of the field a little bit deeper, right? That's my concern going into this game. I think the Chiefs, early on in this game even, are going to test the Bills' safeties. They're going to test Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin. The Bills have to be ready for a deep shot or two early in this game. How you mitigate that, though, is by getting to Patrick Mahomes early enough. Do not let him sit back there and take that shot. The Broncos did it. They scored on the fifth play of the game. The Ravens scored on a deep ball to Rashad Bateman in the first quarter, or at least got very close to the end. They did score on that drive, I think. I think they did score on that drive. Either way, you get the point. They completed a big, long pass down the middle. And that is something the Bills have to be very aware of this week. You have Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and all that speed, a rookie safety, Cole Bishop, DeMar Hamlin, who has done a nice job. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. He's done a nice job to keep things in front of him. But that's my concern. My confidence here for the Bills, I could say Josh Allen. That's easy to say. Of course, you have Josh Allen. Why wouldn't you be confident, right? I want to be careful about this, though, when I say it. Because my confidence is something that has really hurt this team over the last several playoff years. I just think the Bills' defensive line can beat the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line has been the talking point in Kansas City, and they've struggled at times this year. They've had mix and match all over the place. They've moved Joe Tooney out from guard to tackle. That's actually impacted the interior more than him. I think he's done a good job, except that now you've seen him on film. There have been some warts there with him handling some really good pass rushers, including last week. Of course, the Texans have a very good pass rush anyway. But that's, my confidence is, I think that, and I actually would go the other offensive line, the other way. I think the Bills' offensive line, the way they're playing, makes me confident. Not necessarily they can just take it to the Chiefs because of Chris Jones, Karlaftis, the guys they have. They're very, very good. But the way they're playing with six offensive linemen pounding the football, controlling the ball, I'm very confident that they'll have a game plan to do the same thing. Doesn't mean it's going to work. The Chiefs stopped the Bills' run game last time they were here. Outside of Josh Allen, the Bills ran for like 2.2 yards a carry. Not good enough. Got to be better this game. But Spencer Brown wasn't in that game. Bills didn't have Dalton Kincaid that game or Keon Coleman. Chiefs also were without several of their starters and players. So there's my concern. There's my confidence. I agree with Sean McDermott about the fundamentals in this game and how taking care of the football is a big part of that. It's a big fundamental. I just keep playing this game over in my mind. And the number one thing that I keep seeing is whichever team makes a critical mistake or two at a critical time is going to lose. That's what happened with the Baltimore Ravens. They made the critical mistakes. The Bills did not. We can argue all day about how the Bills might have forced it or not forced it, caused it, whatever. They made the mistakes. The Bills didn't. That's why the Bills advanced last week. I think the same thing can be said for this week. But you're playing a team here in Kansas City who just doesn't make mistakes, like the Bills. They actually rely on you to make them, and then they capitalize. That's what you're dealing with this week. All right, let's get back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Patrick in Las Vegas. What's up, Patrick?
Sal, thanks for taking my call. Working here in Las Vegas, in the industry that built this town, I rely on data to calm my nerves. I could say for the 20th different time how neurotic and nervous and uneasy I am about the prospect of losing or being in a close game. I think we're fans, we all feel that. Working with data every day as I do, not every day is a red banner day in the casino industry, but I mean, you know, the house always wins is true. And we rely on math and we rely on data to put us in that direction. And I know you guys look at Pro Football Reference a lot.
I do.
One number that really, really stood out with me, and I believe it's a historical outlier. Kansas City's expected win-loss this year put them at 10-7. The last team to have that type of disparity in win-loss and expected win-loss was a team we're all familiar with, the 2022 Minnesota Vikings, who got one of their 13 wins because Josh and the offensive line couldn't execute a center snap backed up on their own goal line. Minnesota recovers it for a fumble in the end zone. They score. I know we forced overtime, blah, 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 blah. But those are the types, they were an outlier of like 4.5 wins. The Chiefs were a 5-win outlier this year. I know anything can happen any given Sunday. I believe that. I know the Chiefs are great. They've got the resume. But if I'm taking Kansas City off of the numbers this year and I'm ignoring their past and I'm just looking at the data, I'm asking myself, how the heck did they get here? How the heck did they get to be the one seed? How the heck are they hosting this game? I'm not saying Buffalo should win, but if you told me, looking at the data, that Kansas City would be in the position they're in today, I'd be saying they're due for a correction. When that correction comes, I don't know. I hope it comes Sunday. I'm optimistic it comes Sunday. And that's all I have to say.
Go Bills. You got it, Patrick. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the breakdown. Dan in Tonawanda. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Sal. Good afternoon. So what that last caller was talking about is the law of averages, which can also be referred to as a gambler's fallacy. Mm-hmm. So while I hope he's right, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But either way, you know, I look at it going into this game. It's a little bit of a different approach than I think most fans are taking. I think a lot of people are looking at it as all the pressure's on Josh, and it's a legacy game and everything else on those lines. And I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it from the perspective of I don't think there's as much pressure on Josh as people make it out to be, because right now, going into this morning, Josh is labeled as the guy who can't beat the Chiefs, and Andy Reid has their number, and we all know the historical past with an 0-3 record. So if they lose on Sunday, what changes? Nothing, really. I mean, they're still the team that can't beat the Chiefs, and they're still the team that Andy Reid has their number, and, you know, we can't get over that hurdle. So to me, I look at it as we have everything to win. And, I mean, I look back at it, and it's a sense of calm, I guess, more than anything. Because I'm a glutton for punishment, I went back and watched the Four Falls of Buffalo. And I watched Tim Russert's plea when he talked about it's got to happen someday, right? It's got to happen someday. Why not this year? I mean, I guess I'm trying to take a calm approach to it.
No, I totally get it. I think, it's almost, you're right. Like, hey, well, what's the worst that can happen? We've been through the worst, right? That kind of approach, which the best that can happen, we haven't experienced. Let's go do that. The worst that can happen, we've already been through that. We don't want to again, but it's not like we haven't done it before. And I totally understand that thought. Thanks. Sorry, I just cut you off there as I hung up, but I totally get it, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to Nate in New York City. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal. How you been, brother? It's been
good,
a long
buddy.
Time.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Hey, a couple things. First, just on the X's and O's. Call me crazy, but I think that we beat the tougher team last Sunday because I think Lamar's a tougher quarterback to match up with than Mahomes. And I think Derrick Henry's a tougher running back to match up with over Pacheco. And I think Likely and Andrews are tougher tight ends to match up with compared to Kelce and Gray. So I feel like we've already sort of been through the toughest test we're going to be through. And if I'm calling a spade, I think Kansas City should be scared of us coming in here and not the opposite.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've all seen Kansas City vulnerable this year at times, but they find ways to win. And I think we've seen the Bills just have this consistent approach, and they find ways to win too. But I like your thought and the way you laid that out, Nate. Thank you. Curtis in Niagara Falls.
Right,
what's
here
going on, my man?
Gone.
You're on the air, buddy.
Did you know the square
Curtis,
one I had that was...
Hello. Hold on. Let's go. Yeah, we're going to... Curtis, call me back. Call me back, Curtis, because whatever you were doing there wasn't being on the radio. Let's go to Mike in Rochester. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, buddy.
I just want to let you know, man, that we're all excited not only to go and win the game, but we're excited for you, man. We want to see Sal Capaccio on the sideline for the Super Bowl, man.
I'd love that.
We respect you, man, and you give a lot of props, and take some time, man, and know that the Mafia want this not only for the team, but for you, Sal.
Well, listen, Mike, I appreciate it. Listen, it's not about me, but I will say selfishly, I'll say it this way, professionally, being able to be on a radio broadcast of a Super Bowl game would be like the pinnacle of a career, right? I mean, and I've thought about that. And, you know, for Chris Brown and for Eric and for me, I mean, you know, these are my friends and my colleagues. I want it for Chris. I want it for Eric. I want it for Murph, who didn't have that chance, right? But, you know, for sure, it's part of it. And I want to be a part of it. And look, if they do this thing on Sunday, if they go do the thing, Mike, on Sunday, I promise you, buddy, you're going to have the best content for 2 weeks long running into New Orleans. I promise you, buddy.
Yes, sir. And one more question.
Yeah.
Now that we know that Rap is out, is there a possibility that Micah Hyde could call him up? I mean, this is the AFC Championship game, man. There is no next week.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. Sean McDermott was asked about it earlier this week. He said no.
Okay.
And I think my guess is they just don't think that, you know, whatever the conversation was, Micah, maybe it was, hey, you're never going to play. You'll be here in the practice field with us, helping us out, practicing, being a part of the practice squad. But, you know, to throw him in there for his first time in over a year playing an AFC Championship game might be a little too much. My guess is maybe Kareem Jackson gets elevated, who is a veteran, who would be a backup safety in this situation. But just to answer your question, Sean McDermott did say it, there's no Micah Hyde this week.
All right. Thank you, Sal. God bless you, Manny, and God bless the Mafia, and go Bills.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the kind words. All right, I think we're back with Curtis. What's up, Curtis? You were in a conversation when I told you last time.
My apologies, Sal.
It's all good.
Hey, nice to talk to you. You know my confidence. I've been up since preseason. When you made those preseason predictions.
Yeah, I do. I got them right here. I got them.
You still carrying those receipts?
I do. Hold on. Wait, I got it right here. Hold on. Seriously. Hold on, Curtis.
Yeah, I said 13-4.
Hold on, you got 13. Curtis, 13-4 with a Super Bowl championship.
Correct.
You and Robert from Hoboken were the exact same. You were the only ones that said that.
I got a friend named Robert. He texted me the other day. He said, where should I meet you at Delaware? I said, in front of Tim Horton. I'll be sipping on a triple-triple with a mocha shot.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I hope you can, man. I hope you get that chance.
I hope, well, You meet me in front of Tim Hortons. It's on me.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. Thank you, Curtis. I did write all those down. Clayton in North Carolina. What's up, Clayton?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm good. Hey, I just want to let you know my feelings. I'm a little anxious, excited, confident, but most of all, I'm proud to be a Bills fan. I was born and raised in Salamanca, moved down to Wilmington about 13, 14 years ago, and still a season ticket holder. I make my trips back 4 or 5 times a year. But what I'm a little worried about is the special teams and Matt Smiley.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So with T-Bass, he is feeling a little bit more confident. But I went back and watched some of the film on what KC does during the extra points and their field goals. And I can't think of another team that has blocked 2 field goals in a season, let alone being at the end of the games, you know, fourth quarters. That Denver game, they blocked it, basically won the game based off of that.
And then last week against Houston.
That's right, last week against Houston.
And now, let me ask you, did they both come from the defensive right, the offensive left, right?
So what they do is they overload 6 mm-hmm. to one side. They put 4 on either right or left, and then they have a DB in the back probably as a safety net. And they smash through the B gap, and they have 2 guys double team in the guard, and they'll have another guy or 2 on the tackle, and they slip one through the B or C gap. And they don't necessarily line up right or left. They switch it up. But they do the same thing each time, and they don't necessarily block each one. But if you look back in the Houston game, Fairburn he did have a bad game. But he shanked 1 field goal, blocked 1, missed an extra point. And even the ones that are close, or even the regular ones that make it, they almost come close to blocking it each time. And I don't know if Smiley's smart enough to pick that up.
Well, they'll do the film review on it, and I'm sure they will pick it up. The problem is you got to have a plan for it to make sure that you how would I want to say this, Clayton? You block it without compromising elsewhere. Does that make sense, right? I think that's the issue you have. I'm sure they're aware of what they do, but they still have to go block it, and they still have to do it without compromising something else. I like your thought here because I think special teams is obviously something that has hurt the Bills a bit this year. Now, against Denver, as I said on the Monday morning, they gave up against Denver the fake punt, but you know what? Otherwise, I thought they were really good on special teams all throughout the game other than that one play. I mean, they did a really nice job with their gunners. Bass was great on kicks. So I think they've been trending well here. And I would also say Chiefs special teams, Dave Taub, as you know, Clayton, I'm sure you probably know this, he is one of the best special teams coordinators the league has seen in a long time. They're good on special teams, and especially the blocking kicks. They don't have the same kind of ceiling they've had on special teams over the last few years, though. So I agree with you. Like, that's something that they're going to scheme up, but I think at least you're not dealing with this, like, unbelievable special teams unit that comes in here and, you know, like they have the last few years. So thanks for the breakdown. I appreciate it. They will have it coached up, but they're going to have to block it. That's the bottom line, Clayton. Thanks, buddy.
That's right. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Clayton. We'll take a timeout. If you're on hold, you can stay there. I'll get to you as soon as I get Patrick Hammer on. We'll get through the weather. If you want to not do that, that's fine. But I do want to tell you, I'm going to have Patrick Hammer on coming up. WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We're going to talk about weather for this game, weather for the game in Philadelphia, because, oh yeah, there's an NFC Championship game as well that's happening this weekend. And of course, it is the Football Friday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, it's time for a break. We will be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Patrick Hammer up next.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Well, for not the last time this year, because we're going to talk beyond this about, you know, weather in other cities and maybe even New Orleans. I think that might happen. Pat Hammer joins me, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist on the Western Hotline. Are you at the rally this morning?
So I was back here kind of holding the fort down in the studio. But, you know, the rally took place not only on the Today Show, but, you know, on our show Daybreak as well. And it was really cool. I mean, the Bills and the city all came together and the Today Show, NBC, and that rally. I think the big story, in my opinion, Sal, is that they showed the other three cities and their rallies respectively, and they had some cheerleaders, and they were in a bar or a restaurant, and they had a couple of, you know, a handful of fans. According to estimates from the city, 800 to 900 fans showed up for the rally this morning.
Love it.
For the Today Show. It's incredible.
Amazing. Did you see the rally the other day where the mayor of Philly spelled Eagles wrong?
Come on.
Yeah, but this happens with mayors a lot. Like where they say they trip over their words, they say wrong. Remember the one in Boston years ago? They were talking about all the different heroes of the Boston sports scene, and they totally botched it. And the mayor of Philly the other day was doing the E-A-G-L-E-S, but she mixed up the letters. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody, I mean, hey, it is a mayor. You should be used to talking on stage. Not everybody talks for a living like you and I do. And even when we do that, we screw up things, right?
Oh, the amount of mess ups I have. I have a whole segment. It's called the apology segment.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And I make all the graphical errors that I made, the forecasting errors, the things that I should have said, you know, all of it.
Okay. Speaking of that, I am not saying you made an error last week. What did you think about the weather last week after what you thought about the weather last week for the game?
So, I the cold was there. I think it was just the lack of wind made it really, as you would agree, wasn't that bad, right? I mean,
no, I'm more talking about the snow, though.
The snow for last
against the Ravens, there was just more snow than maybe.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
you understand what I'm asking?
Yes, okay. Yes. So that's been kind of the theme this year. That and when it comes to snow, it's the lake effect snow that is the trickiest part,
right? And you say that all the time.
I know. And all of the snow we've had this winter season has been lake effect. Literally every flake. So that's made the forecasting a little more tricky. Hey, happened last night. We were forecasting snow. It came, but it was like 3 hours late. And all of a sudden the commute was fine. But it got really heavy last night. But no, you're right. It was a little bit more than expected. And the temperatures were not as cold. So, you know, at the end of the day, there wasn't as much of an impact. But yes, the snow was a little more prolific.
Yeah, last night. So last night we had this event for, you know, and by the way, just a little promo here. I'm going to Italy. WGR sending me to Italy. You've been hearing me talk about it. And last night we had the event at the Richardson Hotel where people could come and learn about the trip. By the way, Pat, you need to come to Italy. It's going to be amazing. This trip is going to be absolutely amazing. Anybody listening needs to go check it out. It's going to be in July. So we go to the Richardson. We do this whole thing. I look outside and I'm like, holy cow, like, what is going on here? It just came down here in the city.
And about 4 inches came down in about an hour and a half. So now that was, you know, we saw that coming. We just thought it was going to happen a little earlier, which is why we had these alerts for the commute and all that. But no, that was expected. But, you know, and by the way, the lake is pretty much frozen over, but it didn't care. It didn't matter. It snowed anyway. So, yeah, that was pretty intense last night.
All right, so let's move on to the next couple days. I've heard from many people who are going to Kansas City for this game. Obviously, I'll be traveling there as well. Let's talk about the travel to Kansas City this weekend and then at the game Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, so just a perfect weather night, you know. The game is not going to have any impact due to live weather at all. It's going to be 30 degrees at kickoff, 28 degrees in the fourth quarter. Very little, if any, wind, no wind chill, no precipitation. If you are traveling there, very easy, lazy weather, mid-30s both Saturday, Sunday, some clouds, some sun, just no big storms, no looming weather patterns that we got to dissect. This one is pretty straightforward, and it looks perfect for a passing offense, I got to believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's may the best team win in those conditions, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down
to. Absolutely.
And then before that, there is a game in Philadelphia where last week, boy, that snow really came down. I do think it impacted game on some level, right? But I don't know, what are we expecting in Philadelphia for the 3 p.m. start, Commanders at Eagles NFC Championship?
So that does not look like there's, you know, the weather that usually comes here ends up there. And right now it does not, we're going to have a pretty easy weather weekend. Right now I'm expecting temperatures to be pretty much in the 20s and 30s and not really expecting much in the way of precipitation. There's going to be some snow showers around here, but I just don't think they're going to make it to Philly. I think the weather there looks fine.
What's going on in the South, man? Holy cow, this snow. New Orleans, Houston, Florida. It's crazy.
How about Florida?
Yeah.
How about Pensacola?
Yep.
Getting like 10 inches.
Amazing. You tell me about it.
This is a once in a generational thing. I mean, I think the last time this happened was in the 19th century. Oh. They can get snow showers over there, but they're usually just kind of, you know, token snow showers, no big deal. But this was like a full blizzard. You know, they issued a blizzard warning near Lake Charles for the first time ever. There were definite blizzard conditions in New Orleans where there were some measurements close to a foot of snow. Hmm. And I know it kind of made you wonder, I wonder if this is like a little foreshadowing of who may be heading there, right? Okay. I believe in that stuff. And then some snow in the Florida, which was crazy. So yeah, that was a nutty weather pattern, a sign of just how cold it's been. Here, that cold extended down there, cold enough here that, you know, our lake iced up completely in about 2 days. It's almost completely iced over. It's about 85%. But yeah, it's just been a cold January. It's been a cold week. We're going to have more of it next week. Not nearly as cold as it's been. But we're going to break out of this, I think, when we flip the new month.
Okay. So that's how I want to end this, which is, look, yeah. I've thought about this, which is, Sunday comes and goes. Depending on the results of the game, we are either pushing winter off because we don't care for 2 weeks, and I don't care, baby. It's all about the Bills and football. Or we start, you know, worrying a little bit more about the weather and thinking about it because our days and our lives have changed a little bit differently. So what are we looking at over the short term here in Buffalo?
Okay. And I got to add, like you, I am so out of sorts today. I don't know where I've left my keys. I don't know where I came to work. With two different shoes on. I mean, it's just, I'm so like out of sorts for Sunday.
Yep.
So I had to reflect upon last Sunday's forecast when you were talking about the snow and the game. I'm like, I can't even remember what last Sunday was. Looking forward here, again, next week is going to be still cool, but not Arctic cold like it's been. There will be first of all, Monday is going to be rather windy. We have some snow potentially Tuesday, Wednesday. Doesn't look like a lot. And then maybe a bigger system for next weekend. That's something we'll have to watch. But, of course, that's an off weekend for football. Winter rolls on Buffalo style right into next week.
I know we've talked Pac-10 football. Did you see Pete Carroll's going to get – he's been hired by the Raiders?
I know. it's incredible. I mean a former coach of mine, he was a USC coach, right? Long ago, like back
yeah,
in
yeah, the, won a national championship there, yep.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing. And by the way, he's Benjamin Buttons. He's 73, but he looks 10 years younger than he did 10 years ago.
It's amazing.
Isn't it crazy?
It is amazing. I love that. I know. Hey, Pat, listen, thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to talking to you over the next couple weeks.
You got it, Sal. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Pat Hammer. We're not saying goodbye, baby. We're saying talk to you next time. Dom in Rochester. Hi, Dom. Thanks for holding on. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, Sal. First of all, you do a great job. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I wouldn't say that even if you weren't Italian. But anyway, I've been watching the Bills since I was 9 years old, 1960. It was a love affair. But this year, or this past 6 or 7 years, watching this kid play quarterback just brings a smile to my face. And anybody, I don't care where you are, who you root for, if you don't enjoy watching this kid play football, then you're not a football fan. He just, if he's in an interview, if he's playing, he just makes me smile.
Yeah.
And just one more thing, I'll be at the game Sunday, and if I run into you Saturday night, I'd love to buy you a drink.
Hey, you never know. Never know. Might see me out and about getting some Kansas City barbecue on Saturday night. Thanks, Big Dom. Appreciate
you.
I don't know if he's Big Dom, but he sounds like Big Dom. He said he was Italian, so I'm going to call him Big Dom. All right, Joe in Utica is going to be our last caller of the Football Friday. What's up, Joe? Bring it strong. You're the last caller of the week, buddy. I'm good. Last caller of the week. You got to bring it strong.
Wow, what an honor, man. All right, well, I'm bringing it strong. I just got to the airport in Syracuse from Utica, and I'm getting ready to get on the plane and head to Kansas City. Woo! I'll be there this afternoon.
All right.
So I'm pretty amped up, and just like you, I've been a complete disaster all morning. I went to get in the shower as I'm listening to you do the intro song, got me jacked up. I'm ready. You know, I'm listening to you, and you're telling me a story about forgetting your coffee, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to shave my face and trim my beard as I'm in the shower. So I had to get out of the shower, go do all that. So.
It's all good, man. We're all with you. We're all Joe from Utica today. I get it, man. That's going to be a great flight for you. What do you got? Where do you go from Utica to where?
There's no direct flight, so unfortunately I got a little short layover in Chicago, and then I'll be in Kansas City by about like 4:30 or 5 o'clock, something like that. I forgot exactly.
I'm sure there's going to be quite a few Bills fans on your flight, too.
I'm sure I'm going to be seeing some Bills gear and some Mafia members for sure. Yeah. So, just wanted to call in and just say kind of the vibes also. You know, I was a disaster on the first week of the playoffs, and a little bit better last week, and I'm even better this week. And I just feel like for the first time in my life, I'm just kind of enjoying the ride, not being a nervous wreck, but, you know, a little bit of a, you know, misplacing things like you say, but just more enjoying the ride than anything. I just wanted to call more out of superstition this week, because I called last week and told the story about Roscoe. So
yeah, you did.
I got to give him a call. What the heck?
Well, I'm glad that you hung on, and I'm glad we got you in, and it's a great, great call to end the week, Joe. You have a safe flight, okay?
Thanks, man. You too, and I hope Roscoe's still looking over us. Yeah. Go Bills. Let's get this.
I'm sure he is. Roscoe, along with my Willis from years ago, Roscoe Parrish, he named his dog after. We had Willis, kind of sort of named after Willis McGahee as well. For all of those, right, who've been watching from wherever. Big weekend. Let's wrap it up when we come back, all right? We're not done yet. Got one more segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. I'm Sal Capaccio. We'll do it when we come back. We'll wrap up the week as we head towards the AFC Championship game. Think we could end the show any other way? Yep. It's been the anthem for this team all year. Mr. Brightside. Hopefully you'll hear this rocking in the locker room, on the stage. Well, they wouldn't do that at Arrowhead, but somebody will have it, right? Back here in Buffalo. Open up with it Monday morning here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the Reaction Show. I can't wait for Monday morning to be celebrating with all of you. That's what I want to think about, not the other side. Bills, Chiefs. Sunday, 6:30 p.m. We're going to have you covered all day long here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Countdown to kickoff. Bills game day. And, of course, kickoff at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Enjoy it. I know that you're twisted like me, a lot of you, how you're feeling about this thing. We talked through it today. I appreciate you doing that with me. It's nothing we can do about it, right? Can't control it. Get to the game. Let it play out. And hopefully we're talking about going to New Orleans in a couple of weeks. Sabres Live is up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up in the Bulldog on a Buffalo Football Friday later on today. Have a great, great, great weekend. Be safe out there. Safe travels to Kansas City. I'll talk to you on the Bills radio broadcast on Sunday and, of course, on the Monday Extra Point Show.